أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Surah 106, Quraysh, the Quraysh, Makkan period. Title: The opening word of the Surah Quraysh also serves as its title. Period of Revelation. Although Dahak and Kalbi speak of it as a Madinan surah, the vast majority of Quranic scholars regard it as Makkan. Verse 3 of this surah constitutes the internal evidence for its Makkan origin. Had it been Madinan, it could not contain the allusion, the Lord of his house, the Kaaba in Mecca. In its theme too, it is closely linked with Surah Al-Fil and may have been revealed during the same period. Since both the surahs have so much in common, some scholars take the two surahs as one. This view gained some support in the light of the report that Nubay ibn Ka'b's Quran Codex both were written together without the usual demarcation of Basmallah. Moreover, Umar once recited both together without any break. However, this view is not sound. The official Quran Codex prepared by Usman with the active cooperation of a large number of companions carries the usual line of demarcation between the two surahs. Since then to this day, these have been universally recognized as two independent surahs. They also differ markedly in their style, leaving no doubt whatsoever that they are two separate surahs. Circumstantial setting. A study of its circumstantial setting is essential for both its better appreciation and for grasping its thematic affinity with Surah Al-Fil. Until the era of Qusay ibn Kilab, the Prophet's ancestors, the Quraysh, were scattered across Hijaz. He gathered them together in Mecca and ultimately gained the custodianship of the Kaaba. He therefore earned the title of Mujamma, the Gatherer. Gifted with statesmanlike qualities, he established Mecca as a city-state and provided excellent facilities for pilgrims from all parts of Arabia. Gradually, the Quraysh earned the respect of all the tribes in the region. After Qusay's death, his sons Abdul Manaf and Abdul Dar held coveted offices in the state of Mecca. Of the two, the former had gained greater fame even in his father's time and was held in much esteem by Arab tribes. Abd Manaf had four sons, Hashim, Abd Shams, Mutalib, and Nawfal. Hashim, Abdul Mutalib's father and the Prophet's great-grandfather, was the first to embark upon international trade on the route between the eastern regions and Syria and Egypt. This trade was to help meet local needs and of the tribesmen on the route. It would also attract traders to Mecca as a commercial center. By that time, the Persian Empire enjoyed its monopoly over trade activities between the northern regions and parts of the Roman Empire and the eastern region through the Persian Gulf. Indeed, trade activities flourished on the route from South Arabia to the Red Sea coast on the way to Syria and Egypt. As compared to other tribes, the Quraysh trade caravans enjoyed respect in their capacity as the custodians of the Kaaba among all the Arab tribes living beside the route. As they used to extend lavish hospitality to pilgrims, everyone stood indebted to them. They did not apprehend any attack on their trade caravans, nor did they have to pay exorbitant toll taxes to which other tribes were subject. With an eye on all these factors, Hashim drew up his plan for trade in partnership with his three brothers. They secured trade facilities and concessions from the rulers of Ghassan, Abyssinia, Yemen, and Iraq. Their trade had roaring success, and they were widely acclaimed as businessmen. They were known as the people of Al-Ilaf, literally those who promote love, in recognition of their contacts and pacts with neighboring tribes and states. Thanks to this trade activity, the Quraysh developed contacts with people from Syria, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, and Abyssinia. This exposure raised their social status, and they grew in maturity and insight without any competing Arab tribe. They were the richest in Arabia, and Mecca turned into a hub of business and trade. As a result of their interaction with the Iraqis, they learnt the script in which the Quran was written at a later date. The Quraysh was the most literate tribe. For all of these accomplishments, the Prophet, peace be upon him, branded them as leaders of people. Ahmed, on the authority of Amr ibn al-As, Bayhaqi cites Ali's report that the Prophet, peace be upon him, remarked, "The Himer tribe enjoyed the leadership of the Arabs. Then Allah took it away from them and bestowed it on the Quraysh." While the Quraysh had been recording all-round advances, they faced Abraha's attack. Had Abraha been successful in demolishing the Kaaba, both the Quraysh and the Kaaba would have lost their long-standing prestige. Belief in the Kaaba as the house of God entertained throughout the Jahiliyyah period would have been shaken. The Quraysh too would have lost their privileged status of being the Kaaba's custodians. Once the Abyssinians had established their control over Mecca, the Romans would have captured the trade route between Syria and Mecca. This would have hit the Quraysh economy badly, reducing them to paupers as they had been in the past. However, as Allah miraculously saved the Kaaba and destroyed the Abyssinian army, the members of which collapsed all the way from Mecca to Yemen, it renewed, rather fortified the Arabs' belief in the Kaaba as the house of God. By the same token, it reaffirmed the prestige and glory of the Quraysh. Other Arabs realized that the Quraysh enjoyed Allah's special favor. The Quraysh fearlessly traversed the whole region along with their trade caravans, and no one dared molest them. Even non-Quraysh Arabs under their care enjoyed the same protection. Theme: these incidents were fresh in public memory when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, appeared on the scene. The surah, therefore, does not delve deeply into these historical details. Rather, its four succinct verses address the Quraysh directly, reminding them that since they recognize the Kaaba as the house of God and not a pantheon of idols, and since they acknowledge that they enjoy peace and security because of their association with the Kaaba, they must worship only the one true God. They also owe their flourishing trade, their protection against starvation, and their prosperity only to the Kaaba and its Lord, the one true God.